Unfiltered, the official Sunderland AFC podcast.
Welcome to another edition of SAFC Unfiltered, sponsored by Alpha Security. This time we're heading up to the Academy of Light to speak to Bailey Wright, someone who appeared on the first ever SAFC Unfiltered back in August 2020. Alongside me, as ever, is former player and former international player, Danny Collins. Danny, we are only a few weeks away from a World Cup in the middle of the season in the Middle East. Very strange times for any English football fan, but those are the facts. That's what's happening, and we're going to be speaking to someone who's going to be there.
Yeah, I'm sure he's looking forward to it. And as you say, it does feel strange, doesn't it? Usually, yeah, you know, obviously associate the World Cup end of the season, beer gardens, fan parks, etc. But no, straight into it in the middle of winter, drinking mulled wine, watching the World Cup. Strange one.
Yes, Bailey and Dewey are off to the World Cup. The rest of the guys, they're heading off to Dubai for some warm mid-season training and maybe a game or so out there as well. Have you been involved in anything like that before when you've head off to warmer climates?
Yeah, I've had them in the middle of the season breaks and obviously internationals as well getting away. I can see why they want to do it, keep the lads together. You know, you assess where you're at in the season.
Is it a bit of a party as well? You know, when people say, oh, they're going over there, you know, are you allowed to, you know, go out for a meal and stuff like that?
Yeah, they'll maybe have one or two beers now and then, but nothing daft. You know, I think the lads in this day and age as well, they're not silly, are they? They're going there to train.
Not like you lot.
Yeah, bit of sunbathing around the pool. Oh, well, okay. And just bonding, really, is that sort of time together as well off the training pitch. But no, they'll put the shift in, I think, and obviously spend some time together and then get back to it after that. It's almost a reset, isn't it? We'll see where the injured boys are at, getting almost back to a full squad really to pick from coming up. So I think from Tony Mowbray's point of view, he'll be looking forward to that as well.
Great experiences as well, especially for Jefferson Bennett. And Bailey, who's been to a World Cup before, but they're like nothing else really, are they? And this one coming up in Qatar, it's very strange because normally there would be a lot of time for the international teams to bond with each other, go into the games, prepare.
A couple of friendlies beforehand,
But it's not going to be the case this time. And we'll try and speak to Bailey about what his squad is like and going into that. But out of all the squads, it's almost sometimes the smaller footballing nations which have that mentality, like Wales, for example, who will seem very together, very focused and all in it together.
Yeah, in a way, you go there as a group and you are tight-knit, but you feel like you are the underdogs. And you'll ask Bailey and you look at his group, France in there and Denmark, and obviously Tunisia as well. So they're perhaps the underdogs in that group. But if you've got that togetherness, it can take you a long way in football. And we've seen it in the past, haven't we? You know, you obviously mentioned Wales as well. Go back to the Euros a few years ago, got to the semi-finals. So it was a good run. And you build from there, you get confidence into the camp and that togetherness.
Okay, then let's head inside and speak to Bailey Wright. Welcome back to SAFC Unfiltered, Bailey Wright. Bailey, how you doing?
I'm good, yeah, really good.
We were just saying off mic as well, you were the first ever guest during COVID. It was in August, the 2nd of August 2020. A trailblazer, if you like, doing the first SAFC Unfiltered during completely different times. You were at home. I think you'd just been for a run or something like that by yourself. We were in our respective homes as well, Danny, because of COVID.
I think he's asked me to do something mad, actually, like put a sock over my phone.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes. I was thinking he's joking here, having me off the walk.
The ways
sound quality was good, so it must have been all right.
The things we had to do during COVID, but we got there, Bailey, and here we are, you know, tens of episodes later, and we've got you back on. And just before a big moment in your career, I guess, as well, in your life, you're going to another World Cup with the Socceroos, a huge moment for you. You must be incredibly proud.
Yeah, it's a proud achievement for myself and my family. Obviously, I've been to a World Cup in Brazil and had a little taste of what they're like and had the heartbreak of missing out in Russia 4 years ago. So, I know the highs and lows of football getting selected, and you know, when you get opportunities like this and the honour to represent your country on, you know, the biggest stage possible from a footballer's point of view is special, and it's something I never take for granted. And I really know how I'm extremely grateful, one, for, you know, growing up in Australia and you know, learning my trade there, but you know, having the opportunity to represent my country and represent my friends and family is it's kind of goosebump type feeling that you can never really put into words. It's it never gets old. Every time you get that chance to wear the shirt or get selected, it's like a kid at Christmas. You're just absolutely buzzing.
And I guess to get there, you've had to do some hard work on the domestic front, and that was probably down to, you know, the end of last season. You were described as a warrior, not just by the fans, but by the former manager, in which you, in some games, you dragged the side through to victory, and ultimately you gained promotion with the side to the championship. Looking back on that period of those games, you know, did you always know we were going to achieve promotion? And, you know, was the spirit there in the dressing room? And you must have, you know, really thought that we were going to achieve it, because you were coming out of games covered in blood. You know, you had to get a helicopter to the final because you were ill. You know, what a ride, I guess.
Yeah, what a ride. It's certainly been, you know, a bit of a roller coaster at times. And I guess from the moment I signed for this club, I wanted to achieve great things and get promoted here. And I knew there was a real possibility with that, because the club wanted to keep moving forward, and they still do now. So to be part of what we achieved last season, I guess even roll back, you know, we won the Papa John's, which is that was a step to, I guess, getting us promoted, you know, winning on a big occasion in Wembley, albeit without fans, still a trophy. Obviously, I didn't play that one, but very much obviously part of the group. And then the way last season went, I think there was so many things that leading into those playoffs, we had the belief that we would get promoted, and that belief come from, you know, the day-to-day atmosphere coming into the building, the way we trained, the way we set up in games, and the momentum we built up and the run we were on. Naturally, you know, confidence grows, belief grows, support grows, understanding of each other and the game plan. And I think, you know, Alex Neil certainly had us set up and specific ways for specific games, and we really bought into that and really developed, I think, as a group off the pitch and on the pitch. And, you know, I think obviously Wembley was the cherry on top there, and, you know, the way we did it, given the club's history there, I fully believe before we stepped out on that pitch, there was only ever going to be one winner. And that was, you know, that's not an arrogance. I think that's a confidence in the preparation and the time that, one, the club and the coaching staff all put in to prepare us for that game, and two, the collective determination of the group to go out there and do it for ourselves and each other and our family. So to be part of that was special. And, you know, I think we all had different roles to play. Obviously, lads at the back, keeping it tight and having our match winners that we always knew had the quality. And we had that blend in the team, which was always important. And, you know, we've carried that on through this season for sure.
Yeah, Bailey, I was going to say, obviously you mentioned that everyone played their part last season, and no one more so than you when Alex Neil came in. I think you played every minute for him, looking back at the stats yesterday. Obviously the semi-finals, Frankie touched on it, blood down at Hillsborough, all over the show, putting your head in, body on the line, and getting over the line at Wembley as well. And then you follow up that up, obviously, with qualification for the World Cup, so you're going into the summer on a high. And you've come in this season, and obviously signings have come into the building, and found it difficult early on to get your place at the back there. How difficult has that been for you after what we achieved last season?
Yeah, I'm a professional, and I've always had respect for whatever team's put out, whether I'm in it or not. And yeah, it is tough when you're a winner, and, you know, every day in training I want to win, every day in the gym, whatever I'm doing, I want to do it to the best and use every day as an opportunity to grow and get better. So ultimately, the carrot is that you want to get in the team every Saturday and be playing, because that's, as a footballer, you want to be out there on the pitch winning games and progressing yourself and, you know, getting that reward of 3 points. It's what it's all about, really. And I guess from last season to, you know, playing every minute, you know, I kind of use last season as a bit of a motivation for myself. Yeah. And sometimes I share it with young lads in many ways. I wasn't really so much in the plans at the start of last season either. There was lads ahead of me, and I had to be patient by my time. And, you know, being an experienced lad, you know how to get through them things. And there is times when you can get frustrated and your frustrations can get the better of you. But ultimately, it's about being true to yourself, true as a professional, and, you know, having respect for your teammates. And I've always had that from last year to this year. I fully respect lads that have played ahead of me. You know, we're in the championship.
Yeah.
We've signed some good players. We've got good players that have come up with us. And, you know, no one's got divine right to be starting this. You know, the shirt's there when you've got it. You know, you got to make sure that you don't lose it, because there's others that want it. And, you know, at that time I was a person that had to try and fight for my shirt. Mm. and you know, I've managed to play a few games now, but you know, there's, you can't let complacency creep in, and complacency is really the evil, really. You never want that to creep into a dressing room. And I guess as a senior lad, when I'm not in the squad, that was my role to make sure I wasn't complacent, but try to push the standards and push lads that did have it. So ultimately last season, the way it went for me was incredible. I probably never quite envisioned it happening the way it did, and getting promoted and then getting my shirt back for the national team and playing a part, scoring and qualifying for a World Cup. You know, I never take for granted what I've achieved and where I am. And you know, I hate to use the word lucky because I don't really be lucky, but I think
hard work and dedication.
Well, yeah. I think it is a bit of that, Bailey, because even during that COVID time, you did off your own back. You did a fitness qualification, didn't you? And you're obviously in good physical shape, and you must work really hard. And you must have always thought you got to have to be ready when the squad calls upon you, when your country calls upon you. You're going to have to be ready. Does that mean you actually put more in the gym in that kind of respect?
Yeah, I'm probably fitter when I'm not playing than when I am playing.
Everything's working.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You're not taking elbows off centre forwards in the gym, are you?
You're not having to spill blood all the time, are you? But it's funny, as a centre half, I guess you're running in stats and stuff like that can really be determined by the type of team you're playing. And, I worked a lot with... Actually, I'll use Adji. I thought Adji was a great example. Adji, we're both patient for our chance. And Adji drove me and I drove him. And there's other examples of this, but I like to use Adji because when he got the chance to play in the team, I thought he was brilliant. He looked fit.
Yep.
He was playing left back. He was almost playing left striker, left wing back. And he was so fit and so ready to get his chance. And I was so buzzing to see that he was, every day, he was pushing me to do extras. And we were kind of pushing each other. And you need that in a team. So when he got the shirt and was playing, I was so happy for him. He scored against Watford.
Yep.
I was like shouting, watching that game. I wasn't there. And I think that's what the team's all about. I know he'd be the same for me because we both drove each other, and there's other examples of other lads doing that, which is really important. That's the sort of the stuff behind the scenes you don't see. The culture of the group, the culture of the club, the environment, the standards we set. And, whenever, you're not in the 11, you're doing extra sessions, but at the end of those sessions, there's a group of us putting in extra runs, joining in with the 21s, playing 21s games, because we wanted to be ready. We want to be part of this club. You feel something good happening here. And if you're not fit, you only have yourself to blame.
Yeah, I seen that, Bailey, actually, when I was out with the 18s a couple of weeks ago. There was a game, wasn't there, behind closed doors with the 21s. They had 20 minutes, I think, and you were out there playing in that. And it's easy there to sort of sulk and mope around the place and think you're being belittled in a way. But from your point of view, you look at it, I've got to be ready, I've got to be fit. And when I get my opportunities, say, you don't wish injuries on your teammates, but when it happens, you've got to be fit and ready to go in. And obviously, you found yourself in the starting 11 the last few games.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think, if I wasn't ready and I felt like I wasn't fit and lethargic going into games, I'd be furious at myself because, you got to take accountability and control of what you do every day. And like I say, joining in with young lads teaches you something else. We were just talking before about coaching, and as a centre half, you're always seeing the game from behind and trying to coach lads in front. And for me, it's kind of, yes, it's great to get the minutes and the physical side of it, but also get to know the young lads, get to work with them a little bit, and then you get some of them asking for feedback from you, and it helps you develop, I guess, and start thinking of, I still like to think I've got plenty of years playing, but starts to think of your next step. And
I spoke to one of the young lads when they're coming off, one of the young lads who played just in front of you in midfield, and I said, how was it? And the first thing he said, he goes, God, it's good having Bailey behind me, talks you through the game, seeing everything. And it's that experience as well, being out there with the young lads, and they take it on board as well, don't they, from you being out there with them?
Yeah, exactly. I think we've got a hungry group of young lads that want to learn and want to be in the first team. They want to see, I guess, what the step up's like, and it's every bit of part of your game. It's having better players around you that help bring your game on as well. And we all have a role to play to improve any environment we're in any industry, whether that's helping young lads being a senior lad or a young lad pushing senior lads. Everyone has a different role to play, and I think the culture says a lot. We have a culture that's come a long way, and we continue to build. And it's I enjoy being part of that. Ultimately, I want to be out on the pitch, but I know there's bigger things and more important things too that you can do every day.
Do you feel that responsibility, not just with the 21s or the 18s joining in sessions, but you look at the first team as well? Everybody keeps talking, we've got a lot of good young talented players coming in there. And as well, coming off the back of a result like Saturday, where, you know, we weren't quite at it. We've had a good result down at Huddersfield, couldn't quite follow it up with another 3 points at the weekend. Obviously, yourself in there, Danny Barr, Alex Pritchard, Corey, getting around the younger boys as well, just trying to keep them going and push on now for obviously the last game before the World Cup break.
Yeah, I think we've got a young and an exciting team with a lot of potential to keep growing, which is great. That's what you always want, a team that can keep improving with a sprinkle of some really experienced, good senior pros. But there's times as well when there's young lads that are, you know, we're learning new things off them as well, and that's the beauty of it. I think we're all quite open-minded and willing to learn. But yeah, it's helping lads settle. It's helping lads learn and adapt to a whole new environment. You got boys that some of them playing their first full seasons of professional
at this level
football
and that's right, yeah.
in a different country. So, you know, I really think that must be really difficult off the pitch, let alone on the pitch, to really settle into. So just trying to create an environment where, you know, there's a set, you know, set standards that we expect from each other that we all must live by every day and push each other. But ultimately, there's that bit of switch off and relax that you can get to know each other and enjoy the atmosphere too. It's not just cutthroat.
Yeah.
Work. Like, it is work, but with a smile on your face and a bit of fun too. And, you know, it's getting that balance right. And we're still learning and growing. And I think that's probably the key to us. We're going to keep growing and growing. And, you know, Saturday, you know, was a disappointing performance, but an opportunity to learn from it and get better. And, you know, football's full of times when you get knocked down and you fail and you don't set out what you plan to achieve. And that's, you know, every game. You're not going to win every game. But tell you just pick yourself up and go again, and, you know, where the championship games come so quickly, you've got another opportunity to play against another good team really quickly.
Right as well, yeah.
And against good opposition that we're learning from too sometimes. So it's great. It's what you love about football. It's, obviously frustrating to lose. You never want to lose and put in a poor performance, but, you know, it's not going to be our last. It's how you pick yourself up and move on from these things is what really matters.
A lot of things you were saying there, Bailey, it comes down to the culture which you mentioned, and attitude, I guess, would be an important word. And of course, attitude has many different faces, but it certainly seems that this current cohort of players has a positive attitude and the culture is good. And, you know, not, you don't have to look that far back in Sunderland's history to realise that was completely different. Turning things back to the World Cup, what's the culture like in the Socceroos, and what's the squad like and the belief there?
Our belief is extremely high with the national team, like it is here. But we kind of, in the summer, we all worked on it as a group of really creating like an inner circle of, you know, no one gets in here and affects this group. This is what we're set out to achieve, and we're going to achieve it. Because a lot of media and people rid us off from the start, thought, you know, if there's anything we know about Australia, the last few World Cups were really qualified the hard way.
But this is your fifth consecutive World Cup, isn't it?
Fifth or sixth. We'll have to double check that.
We'll double check that.
I think I've got fifth wrote down here.
Yeah, you might
as well.
Be right.
Fifth, yeah, you're on a few years back as well.
But that just shows that there's some kind of belief there within the Socceroos. You come overcome adversity, you achieve your goals, and you're there. You know, you're going to Qatar.
Yeah, and it's, you know, that road to qualifying for a World Cup is tough. You got to do some serious flights, go through some crazy time zones, play in one country, then fly to another 3 days later. And when I'm saying fly to this country, you're talking like long haul flights. So it throws different challenges that probably a lot of other national teams don't have to comprehend. A lot of us play in Europe, Asia. We all play all over the world. To come into Australia to play, most that doesn't really happen as much. We've got a really diverse group of lads that play in such different countries.
Has it ever been suggested that maybe you could train in Central Europe or something like that because of where all play football?
I think it's been spoken about, but because of the, you know, international windows happen so quickly, but if you train there, you still got to fly and play the game. So, you know, like if we're playing in Australia, you got to fly there, then say you're playing in Japan, you got to get there, then get back and play for your club. So your body clock just there's no real way around it rather than just.
And that must take days to overcome
as well.
Sleep
when you can.
Yeah. Sleep when you can. Yeah. What's the key to a jet lag then? Because you must be a master of it. Is it that, I heard a thing, that you, as soon as you land, you have to eat the appropriate meal at that time?
Yeah, there's loads of different things to help your body clock change. I actually think Danny said it there. Get as much sleep on the plane as you can so you're well rested.
Are you good at that?
Like, yeah, I've got better. You know, we're fortunate enough. We travel business class. We're so grateful that we get to do that, but you need it when you're getting off the plane and training and playing straight away. But there's loads of little tips, staying hydrated, not touching any alcohol on the fly, even if it's just like a drink, one glass of wine can affect your body clock. So there's all the things you learn and get better at, and they matter. And I think we always use those little one percenters to give ourselves a chance. And we created that belief in these playoffs that, you know, playing against Peru, a lot of people read us off straight away, and we fully deserved to win that game. And it went right down to penalties. But again, had that belief like I did here in the playoff final that it was going to be our night, because we had this camaraderie, this togetherness, this siege mentality that we were going to get the job done at all cost for each other, for our families, for our country. And here we are, you know, ready to take on another World Cup.
So you've mentioned that they're penalties, Peru. How nervous were you, obviously, on the halfway line watching the penalties? Got over the line, but what number penalty were you on?
I was 7 or 8.
Oof. 6-5 it finished, didn't it, as
yeah.
well?
Yeah. So I was 2 away.
Yeah.
And my penalty record's horrendous. On the down low,
that goal at the far end was shrinking, wasn't it?
Mate, oh, honestly, like, yeah, I'm glad it didn't get to me, because wait of your country on you to take a penalty.
You did it. We're going to look at it in a little bit more detail, but there is a Sunderland connection to your career with the Socceroos as well. You actually played an international against England at the Stadium of Light, a game in which Marcus Rashford scored his first ever international goal.
And I think I got the assist, actually.
You did?
I think it came off
play,
I think I like blocked it, and I landed to him, and I was like, so I kind of made him and his international
you
career.
Did.
And
yeah, it's all down to you.
On, so yeah, cheers, Marcus. You never thanked me for that one. But yeah, that was special playing against England, and I still feel that night we probably could have, well, we should have done better, really. I thought we put in a good performance, but I think, yeah, we give England a good test, and I think ultimately we were disappointed. We went into that game wanting to win, and that was, you know, one of my first tastes of playing at the Stadium of Light, and obviously pretty special occasion against England in a country where, you know, I've always played my football professionally.
A lot's been made of the World Cup being in Qatar. You and your international colleagues have came out and done a video of which you expressed your concerns about same-sex marriage and also workers' rights. There's been some changes in that, I understand, in the build-up to the World Cup. But obviously, on an international front, it's still behind other countries, isn't it, Qatar?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, a lot of our qualifying campaign for this World Cup, we've been based in Qatar, and you know, we've managed to learn a lot about the country and had a lot of meetings and spoken with a lot of workers out there that have lived and been through everything that's happening. So we've really educated ourselves on what's going on and felt that, you know, we had a real role and responsibility here to obviously, you know, represent our country and play football, but to make a positive impact and be a voice for many people that, you know, their voices are taken away. And yes, there has been a lot of reforms and changes with what's been happening.
If we just express some of those changes, so I do believe there has been some kind of minimum wage brought in, and there has been some of the workers' rights have been introduced in terms of they no longer have to submit their passports, I think, to their workers, so they're a little bit more free to come and go from the country. I think those are victories which should be celebrated, aren't they? And yeah, just to let people listening know that there has been changes.
Yeah, exactly.
And you would acknowledge that as well, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and I think the statement we put out as a group was acknowledging that there has been changes and there has been certain progressions with things that wouldn't have happened if the World Cup wasn't there. Well, ultimately, there's been a lot that has happened for the wrong reasons with the World Cup being there. But there's been things that are changing, like you've mentioned there, that are going and are changing, which is, you know, which are better than what was there before. But, you know, we still, you know, respect and dignity is what we live our values by as a national team and with our union, the PFA. And we feel that that should be the same for everyone worldwide. And I think we just want to, you know, make sure that I think all of us in life have a responsibility to leave our jobs, our families, whatever it is, the world in a better place. And if that can, you know, be with using our platform and our voice to make a positive change, then I think that's important. And as a group, we really felt that was important. And our statement, I think, was really strong, and you know, we acknowledged what's been happening, but also, you know, that we want more change to happen and to keep progressing to catch up with, you know, other countries.
And what better event than having the world's eyes on you than a World Cup to leave a legacy? And it's going to take people like yourselves and other nations speaking about, you know, you made world news with that video you did with you, with your squad. And I'm sure, you know, people have recognised what you're trying to say. Danny, did you want to bring some points in about the World Cup?
Obviously, in terms of qualified now, then you're looking at your group stage, and then first up, you've got the World Cup holders. France.
Yeah.
Mbappe, how are you getting on there? Welcome to the World Cup.
A few boys have been, obviously got a few French boys. And
yeah.
It's what dreams are made of, you know. It's to play against the, you know,
the best players team, in the world, isn't
best
it?
Best players in the world, best team in the world.
They've got a few injuries, though, that might help out.
Yeah. Now, look, like we said, we've got belief that we're going to do something special and really surprise a few people, I guess. Like I said, we have this internal mentality that we know what we're capable of and what we can achieve. And, you know, I'm not naive to know how tough this is going to be. It's a World Cup against the best teams and players in the world. This is where you want to be, the platform you want to test yourself. It's what you dream of as a kid, dream of representing your country on the stage against, like you've just said there, some of the best players in the world all over the pitch. So it's a challenge, but one we're going to, you know, we're relishing and can't wait.
Will there be opportunities for more surprises because the season is in, the domestic season's in full flow? Many international sides would have, you know, liked to have prepared a little bit better and longer to get that kind of squad.
Yeah, usually have a friendly or two before the World Cup,
you know,
in the summer.
Sometimes it takes a month or so to build up that chemistry. It sounds like the Socceroos are already there. That's going to be a big help, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, you know, our strength is really our togetherness and our mateship of, you know, how we have each other's backs and we're so keen to do well for each other. And, you know, that really can be our strength going into this. I think, you know, it's different than any other World Cup. Normally there's probably 3-4 week training camps leading into a World Cup where players and managers, you know, implement their systems and players learn it. This one's up and go. So, you know, I think we've got a real understanding of what we are and who we are and what we stand for and represent, and we take that out onto the pitch. We might not have these, you know, on paper world class superstars, but I'd rather have a team of 11 men all working hard for each other and having each other's backs, and we've certainly got that. And, you know, the plan is that will take us a long way with our ability as well.
I was going to ask you that actually, Bailey. You know, from my point of view, looking at the squad, obviously sort of household names, you know, over here, Matt Ryan, Aaron Moy from the time at Brighton, obviously at Celtic now, Harry Soutar at Stoke. Who's your golden boy in the squad? Who's the ones we're going to be looking out for when we watch the Socceroos?
Yeah.
Who's going to get the goals for you?
We've got a lot of good players that, you know, people in England maybe don't know too much about. One they should know about is Jackson Irvine, who's played in England and he plays in Germany now. And I think he's been brilliant throughout our qualifying campaign, so consistent. Such a good professional, a leader, and chips him in the goals. He works hard, kind of really represents what we're all about. And then we've got another lad, Aiden Hustic, who's now in Italy and just been in Germany, and like he's some footballer.
Right.
His technique, his quality, his left foot. You know, he's a pretty special player, and he's just a bit different to a lot of us. You can see he's got this, like an arrogance in his belief of his quality that he has, because his left foot is a wand. The way he sees the game is we've got a few other players as well. Martin Boyle, who's, you know, rapid, good striker and a goal scorer and a real threat. So, you know, I don't want to do any others disservice because we've got a lot of good players. But, you know, there might be a few surprise packages there and a few players that, you know, a lot of people in Asia and Australia know a lot about that maybe others in the world are not quite sure about yet. So, yeah, it's going to be exciting.
What style of play are we looking at? Get it down and try and play through the lines, or is it quite direct or a bit of both?
No, we're quite mixed. A lot of it depends on, obviously, who we're playing, how we want to set up, and ultimately we want to be attacking bodies in the box and score goals. But a lot of that depends on the opposition and, you know, obviously, see what the manager wants to play in this week. But a lot of it is playing with the ball, being patient with possession and playing and feeding the players that have that quality to hurt teams.
Bailey, before we leave you this afternoon, I wonder if we could pick up of where Sunderland's at. And, you know, we are coming up, by the time you get back, we'll be, you know, straight into Boxing Day action for yourself with the second part of the season. And you know, how do you think Sunderland's equipped themselves this season so far? Obviously, we've been missing some key players as well during that time. But are you confident Sunderland can be maybe finish higher than where they are right now in the table?
Yeah, I think the beauty of us in this club is we've been so used to winning, and we've such a big support base that every game we go into, we fully expect to win. And, you know, the first season of the Championship, that is tough. It's a tough league. We're still got a young group learning and developing. So where we are, we'd like to be higher. And we set the bar higher. We want to be higher. I think the club expects us to be higher. The fans want us to be higher. But sometimes you've got to take a step back and see for what it is and see where we are. And we are in a good place to keep building. It's important that we keep getting stronger and stronger. We don't want to stay where we are and whatever. We want to keep progressing, of course. But sometimes you've got to look at a lot of the new players come in and we're still learning about each other. You've said there we've got injuries. You know, injuries are part of every season. I think any season you can look back and every club goes through that. And it shows the strength of the group. You know, it's an opportunity for someone else to get the shirt. Then lads come back and they're like new players and they're fit again and ready to finish the season strong. So, you know, it's ultimately what you do over the course of a season. And I said earlier, we want to get stronger and stronger, keep getting better and better. And we have the group that has so much potential to keep growing. It's nowhere near its maximum, which is exciting. But it's important that we don't just expect that to happen. We've got to keep putting in the work and the foundations that every day come in to work, to develop, listen to the manager, let him implement his style and what he wants from us, and we keep kicking on. But I think that is what is so good about playing for Sunderland is we are expected to win every game and dominate the game. Yeah. And that pressure is special to have, because you can go to a lot of clubs and you don't get that at all. Go to games and they don't really mean anything. Every game means something here. And I think that's what lads love, that when we lose, it really hurts us. But it's important we get up and go again, because, like I said, there's another opportunity. And that hurt, that drive, I think, is what will really take us on this season.
You know, as you say there, 35 to 40,000 home at the Stadium of Light, and then we sell out the away end, away from home. Huddersfield last week must have been a great feeling, picking up the 3 points and the clean sheet on the road. But I think, obviously, we cover all the games, we've said it, I think the frustration is we've never really been out of a game, have we? We've had a lot of possession. We've
been fine margins in every game, maybe the last home game. You know, there's been phases in that game where we looked
like... It's 1-0 margin as well, isn't it, when we haven't quite played well. But I think from where we're at, obviously, coming up to sort of halfway of the season coming up, we've been in a lot of games, haven't we? And as you mentioned previously, where we perhaps haven't quite got the point. You look at the QPR game, don't you? The couple of 0-0 back-to-backs with Preston and Blackpool as well. That little frustration which is in there.
Yeah, and it is. It's fine margins. And you play these games and you sit there afterwards, you're like, oh, why can't we just win that? That's an extra, you know, you draw on them, an extra 2 points on the board. We should have won that. And then you look where you could be.
Especially how tight the division is.
Yeah, so tight. But I think we do that every season. You really look at it. Yeah, we've been in every game. I think we've given the Championship respect that it deserves, and I think we've kind of taken on board that, you know, we can really go and kick on here, whilst it's not going to be easy and there is good teams. You know, we deserve to be here and keep pushing higher, and I think we'll piece things together. You know, those good performances, we've not got results, we've not quite been at it, but got results, and then you accumulate...
Just consistency, isn't it? Back to backs, and as you say there, you think Huddersfield weren't quite at it, but you come away with the result, get back up here, Stadium Light, against a Cardiff team who have been struggling. Mm-hmm. This is the one, but we couldn't get there, could we? But as you say, get this Birmingham game out of the way, regroup. I think we get a lot of bodies back as well. Good competition for places and get ready to kick on again.
Yeah, the consistency is a massive one. It's consistency and learning and adapting to different ways to win different games of football. And I think this stage for the season has helped us prepare for that. We've played well, not got results. To then hopefully go, how do we dip in and out of what the game needs and learn as a group and players and really start churning out back-to-back results, because ultimately that's what gets you up the table, and we know that. And there's opportunity, like you said there, on Friday night to go and take on Birmingham, who are a good side. It's going to be a tough test. And, you know, after that, a break and hopefully a lot of players back fit and a lot of competition for places again.
Bailey, you know, I think I speak on everyone, all the Sunderland fans, just say good luck in the World Cup from everyone who's associated with the football club as well. And, you know, will you think about the support you're going to be getting from the region when you're out there? Because it's going to be real. The Sunderland fans are incredibly proud of the players who have came through the club and gone on to represent their nations. You know, you only have to look at Jordan Henderson and Jordan Pickford for that as well. But... Everyone in Sunderland's going to be supporting Australia when they're on the TV. So just remember that if you can.
Hopefully they'll, you know, I've got to say, all the supporters there had their kangaroos at Wembley.
Yeah.
Didn't go amiss. So hopefully they've still got them. They can yeah. get them back out. Because I've felt the love. I've felt the support from the moment I've been at the club. And it's phenomenal.
Not even cry.
yeah. Get a bit emotional. Yeah.
I think we should give a mention to Jefferson Bennett as well, away with Costa Rica, we haven't touched on. Tough group he's got, Spain and Germany in there.
Ooh. Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. And what an experience for Chile as well.
Their opening game's actually on the same day as yours.
Yeah, is it on the same day?
They play Spain 23rd of November, I think so.
Interesting times. Exciting times as well, Bailey, and we'll be all behind you for the World Cup. Good luck.
Nice one, guys. Thanks.
Yeah, all the best, Bailey.
That was Bailey Wright speaking to us here on SAFC Unfiltered. It's always nice to talk to Bailey. He's one of those characters around the club, isn't he, Danny, where he's got a reputation of being Mr. Nice Guy, isn't he? And he really is.
Yeah, no, he is. He's probably the dad of the team, really, isn't he? You know, you've got a few experienced lads in there, but yeah, he's a nice lad off the pitch. He's a bit of a brute on the pitch, as we've seen. But no, he's a good lad. Wish him all the best for the World Cup. And I think he deserves it in a way. After what happened there in the last season, getting promoted with ourselves, going through the qualifiers, beating Peru to get there. And he's had a difficult time so far this season. Yes, he's played the last few games and he's certainly contributed as well. You look at the clean sheet, obviously, down at Huddersfield. And he'll play his part, I'm sure, between now and the end of the season as well. But wish him all the best with the World Cup.
Yeah, and he said there as well, he looks after himself. He's in great, physical condition as well. He's definitely a good model pro, isn't he?
You do. I think, I was the same when you're getting towards, say, the end of your career. When you get into your 30s, you do become more aware of it. You've got a lot of young lads in the club who are flyers out on the pitch and they're sharp. You've got to be on your game. And when you're not playing as well, you do perhaps take a little bit more care when you've got to look after yourself off the pitch. And he said there, work harder in the gym. And when you get the opportunity and when you're called upon by the manager, you've got to be ready to go straight in.
Looking ahead to the World Cup then, Danny, your nation, Wales, are heading to a World Cup for the first time in a very long time. Is everyone back at home very excited about the World Cup?
Yeah, I think so. Optimistic, I'd say. We know we need to have all our top players on their game and pulling together, really. You're looking at the group there. We've obviously got the USA first up, Iran, and then we finish against our neighbours, England, I think. So that'll be an interesting one.
Well, yeah. Are we watching that game together? How's that one going to go? But it's very exciting times for the Welsh national team. Of course, you'll be cheering. How far do you think they'll get?
Out of the group, I think, for me. If we can get out of the group and you go from there, really, you never know in a knockout stage. You look at that group, you'd fancy England to go on and win it. Not too sure with the USA and obviously Iran as well. I think they'll perhaps look at our fixture and think, that's where we can get a victory and probably the same for ourselves as well. But when you get out to them knockout stages, if you come up against one of the big boys, you're hoping they have an off night and you turn up. And especially for a country like ourselves, we haven't got a lot of top out-and-out Premiership players. So we've got to be all, pulling together and they need to turn up and perform on the day.
And going back to Sunderland, we're hoping those players who are going to the World Cup will come back unscathed. Yeah. And then we really kick on the second part of the season. That's the plan, isn't it?
That is the plan, yeah. I think you say Bailey and Jefferson going away there. You hope they enjoy themselves, get game time and come back unscathed, really, and come back into the squad when they're ready. And then you look at the rest of the boys we've mentioned as well. Dan Ballard, Adji coming back in. Niall Huggins, I think he's getting game time, for the 23s at this moment in time. Lyndon as well, we spoke to recently. So all these lads, you're getting them back. And as I said, and Ross Stewart's the main one as well up the top end of the pitch. So when he's got a full squad to pick from, I'm sure the happiest man in this building will be Tony Mowbray.
Let's hope so. Okay, thanks for joining us here on SAFC Unfiltered. Don't forget, if you don't subscribe, you should subscribe on your favourite podcast streaming platform, because that way it automatically goes to your device. We'll see you soon. Enjoy the World Cup.